Good morning. Today's daf in Pesachim, Mem Dalet. We are beginning this morning, Mem Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom with the words Amar Rabbi Abahu. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time trying to identify the author of our Mishnah, the Mishnah that began the third parak of Pesachim back on daf Mem Beis, introduced us to two categories of chametz that are not of the highest level of chametz, but rather subcategories of chametz are inferior categories of chametz. One is Tarovis. You have a mixture of chametz and non-chametz that got mixed together. That is one category. And the second category is what's called chametz noksha. Chametz that is inedible, but nevertheless is chametz. It's a fermented product. So the Mishnah went through various examples of what falls under these categories. In terms of ta'arovis, we had kuta, chabav, lishecher, madai, chametz, adomi, zeisam, amitri. In terms of what is chametz noksha, three examples of that in the Mishnah, zomim, shel tzavayim, go back to the Mishnah for a review exactly what those items are. But meanwhile, these two categories of inferior chametz, so one is going to be subject to a lav. If one were to eat that on Pesach, and according to Rashi, if one were to own them on Pesach, so then one would be subject to a lav of the Torah, but what would not come with it would be the chomer of the onus of karis. Karis is only designated to chametz gamur, that stands in of itself, but if you have these inferior categories of chametz, so it comes without the karis penalty. That is what we learned over the course of the last couple of days. Yesterday we spent a lot of time trying to identify who the author of our Mishnah is, who incorporates both of these categories. That was most of yesterday's daf. You recall Machlokus Amoraim, in terms of who to set up our Mishnah like. Should we be setting up our Mishnah either like the Sheet of Rav Meir, which we saw in a Brice in yesterday's daf, that was Rav Yehuda Merav, that our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, or Rav Nachman's alternative suggestion is that our Mishnah yesterday follows like the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. We know for sure that Rabbi Eliezer holds that for Tarovis is going to be subject to a lav, and so maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds that by Tarovis. He also holds that by Chametz Noksha as well, and the Gemara spent a lot of time trying to ascertain as to whether or not that's correct. That Rabbi Eliezer holds both the category of Tarovis and the category of Chametz Noksha. Anyway, we continue. Today's daf is going to be fundamental as it relates to various issues of Tarovis. We're going to be discussing three major concepts of Tarovis in today's daf. They're going to sound similar to one another. They are not perfectly the same, but they are similar, and there are going to be subtle differences between them. And so what we're going to try to do our best today is to see the differences between them. I'm really going to highlight mostly Rashi than anything else today in terms of the understanding of these concepts. Concept number one, I'll just say briefly as far as introduction. Concept number one is what's called Heter Mitzarf L'Isser. Heter Mitzarf L'Isser is this idea that if I have Heter and I Isser and I eat the two of them can combine in order to get me to a Shear. I'm going to highlight exactly how Rashi understands this as a major chiddush and as a major yesod. And Heter Mitzarf L'Isser, as we're going to be seeing in today's daf, has extraordinarily limited applications. That's coming up in just a little bit from now. That's actually going to be the beginning of today's daf. Next, we're going to be talking about eating a gezais bichde achilas pras. That means to say that there's a mixture, and there is a gezais of iser in the food, but I'm eating a gezais of the actual iser, but within a time frame. That is gezais bichde achilas pras. That's coming up also in today's daf. And then to round off today's daf, we're also going to be discussing the topic of tam ke'ikr, that when taste infuses into another food, so that food is going to take on the identity of the taste. Okay, that is a major concept that comes up in halacha, and we're going to be discussing that as well. Basar b'chalav is principled, is grounded in the idea of tam ke'ikr. That's something that's coming up later on as well. Okay, so there is a lot to discuss in today's daf. Let's begin. I'm a Rabbi Abba, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan, call Yisrim Shabbat Torah. When it comes to the Yisrim of the Torah, ain't Heter Mitzarf L'Isser. So generally speaking, we do not say that Heter and Isser combine. Chutz mi'Yisrei Nazir, with a notable exception to that of a Nazir. Sha'arei Amar Torah, because the Torah says the word Mishras. When the Torah describes the Nazir violating his Nazirus, his proclamation that he's not going to be eating any kind of grape product, so the Torah says Mishras, even if you're soaking it in a grape juice and a wine, it's still going to be prohibited. Okay, so according to Rav Yochanan, this idea of Heter Mitzarf L'Isser is limited only to that of the Isser that is bound by a Nazir. What exactly is Heter Mitzarf L'Isser? So let's take a careful and close look at Rashi over here. Rashi in Heter Mitzarf L'Isser, Rashi writes, Achal Chatzi zayis chela, v'chatzi zayis basar. So in principle, here's what would happen. If you ate a half of a zayis of chela, which obviously is forbidden, together with a half of a kezayis of basar, which is mutter, and you do that bevas achas, and you do that at one time. So you have not eaten the requisite amount of chelev in order to be subject to malchus. Now, certainly you're not allowed to. Certainly, chatzi shir is awesome in a Torah. But in terms of receiving the onish, in terms of receiving the punishment of malchus, so ein heter mashlim es shir ha iser lechayvo. You're not going to be subject to malchus because we're not going to say that the chatzi zayis of basar is going to supplement the shir, and thereby you ate a kezayis. We're not going to say that. The only exception is going to be isuri nazir. Rashi writes, chutz mi isuri nazir. Shimachal chatzi zayis anavim v'chatzi zayis lechem v'asachas. Let's say a nazir were to eat half a kezayis of grape and half a kezayis of bread. So chayiv, under those circumstances, he'd be chayiv shari amr Torah mishras anavim lo yishteh. The Torah says that the nazir is not allowed to eat soaked grape, and al shriyaso pito b'yayin. All the nazir needs to do is dip his bread in the wine, and that's it. Now you have an achila. Despite the fact that neither of the foods are going to have the requisite shear, it's only through the combination of the foods that you're going to have the shear. You're only going to be chayiv by nazir by combining the foods. And I'm going to highlight another point of Rashi, which is coming up in just a moment, but I'm going to read the Rashi now. This idea of heter mitzaref leiser, according to Rashi, do they have to be combined with one another? So Rashi in a moment is going to teach us, no, they don't have to be combined with one another. You can eat them even independent of one another, separate from one another, as long as you're eating them at the same time or towards the same time. Look at the next Rashi, after or bal taktir. We didn't do this in the Gemara yet, but Rashi writes, Nami it's heter mitzaref leiser, chatzi zayis komets, desor v'chatzi zayis tamatza, v'einan mu'uravim, ela kol echa nikar. That's not even a tarovitz, it's not even mixed together. In other words, this idea of heter mitzaref leiser, according to Rashi, is just simply supplemental food in order to get to a shir. As long as I have part iser and part heter, and I combine the two, so the amount of heter can supplement in order to get you the shear, in order to be subject to the malchus penalty. That is Rashi's understanding of this concept of heter mitzaref leiser. It's a tremendous chiddush within this concept of heter mitzaref leiser. Now, as I already pointed out, very little application. The Gemara says, at least according to the Shita of Rav Yochanan, that it only applies to that of a nazir. It doesn't apply to any other iser in the Torah. Back to the Gemara, Ziri Amar. Now the sheet of the Ziri, Af Seor Bal Taktiro. What do you mean? Even the Isser of Seor is subject to the principle, to this concept of Heter Mitzaref Isser. What is the Isser of Seor? So we did this just yesterday, and that is that the Torah says that you're not allowed to take a leavening agent, nor you're allowed to take honey and offer it on top of the Mizbeach. Two foods that are prohibited to put onto the Mizbeach. And if you put it onto the Mizbeach, one is going to be subject to a law of the Torah. Now, how much of it do you have to put on? So we're going to assume right now that we're talking about a minimum of a kezayis. So if I take a kezayis of Seor and put it onto the Mizbeach, really the Kohen's going to be doing it. The Kohen's going to be in the base of Mikdash. But regardless, the idea is that one is going to be subject to Malchus for doing that. And what Ziri says is that also is included in the concept of Heter Mitzaref Leiser. Meaning, according to Ziri, let's say it's not a full kezayis of Seor, but it's Seor and something that actually belongs on the Mizbeach, or like matzah, for example, like a komets of matzah. So if you take a half a kezayis of each of the two and you combine them together, that too will bring about liability. The Gemara says, come on, Karebi Eleza Darish Kol. So the Gemara says, wait one second. So this idea of Ziri is predicated on whose position? So this goes back to yesterday's daf. You recall, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who darshans the word kol, which means that even if I have a tyrovis, one's going to be subject to a liability. So the Gemara says that this position of Ziri is within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, if that's true, we're now on the top of Mem Dalam and Alf, Linyan Chamitz Pesach Nami. So the Gemara says, so don't limit yourself to just the Isser of Seor. Anytime you have a ribui of tarovis, so we should include that as well. Remember yesterday's daf? So Rabbi Eliezer says tarovis is going to be elsewhere by Seor. Tarovis is also going to be elsewhere by Chametz on Pesach. That was a big part of yesterday's daf. So this principle of Ziri of Heter Mitzaref Leiser should also apply to Chametz on Pesach as well. So the Gemara's response, and Achinami. No, the point is very well taken. You're right.
Kamash Mulan, Doctor Allah Lapachos Mikazais.
The only reason why Ze'iri wanted to highlight the specific Isra of Se'or is because we have a debate. The Gemara Menachos, Rashi quotes it over here, we have a debate in the Gemara Menachos how much Se'or needs to go up onto the Mizbech in order to be subject to this liability. So the Torah itself is not clear. The Torah just simply says that no Se'or is to go up onto the Mizbech. The Torah does not give us a shear. Is there a shear? So that's a machlokus in the Gemara Menachos. It happens to be a machlokus between Abaye and Rava. Abai is of the position that even if it's less than the shear of a kezias, one is going to be subject to a liability. So for the position of Abaye, I don't need the concept, the principle of hetam et starf l'isser, because any amount of sore that goes up onto the mizbech is going to be liable. Ze'iri just wants to highlight that he does not subscribe to this view of Abaye, that when it comes to the isser of sore, there is going to be a shear. And in order to get to the shear, so then you could take heter, combine it with isser, in order to get to the shear. Okay, that's the only reason why Ze'iri highlighted Se'or, but the truth of the matter is, Ze'iri's position would even be by Chametz and Pesach as well, again, according to the position of Rabbi Eliezer. What do we have right now? So we just introduced ourselves to the idea of heter mitzarf l'isser, that if I have a certain amount of isser, but not the requisite shear amount, and I supplement it with something which is mutter, and between the two of them, now I have a shear. So the chiddush of Rav Yochanan is that such an individual is going to be chiving and receive makos. However, Rav Yochanan limits that only to the isser of the grape products and a nazir. Since we have a special drasha over there, heter mitzarif l'isser applies only there and to no other area in halacha. So very limited application of this principle, but that's the principle according to Rav Yochanan. And then we also saw that according to Ze'iri, he does expand it to at least the Isurim of Se'or and the Isurim of Chametz B'Pesach, and a question of why he highlighted only Se'or. Continuing in the Gemara, where Mem Dal Amad Aleph, we're four lines down, Yosef Rav Dimi B'Kamar La Lahashmaita. So Amalei Abayla Rav Dimi V'Chol Yisurim Shepetori in Heter Mitzarif L'Yisur. So is this really true that there is very limited application? You mean to tell me that the only place that we're applying the principle of Heter Mitzarif L'Yisur is only by Nazir? Let's take a look together at this Mishnah. The Mishnah over here is in Tvul Yom, one of the Masechtas found in Seder Zerayim. As we've gone over time and again, in Tvul Yom, somebody who was Tamei, toveled in the mikvah, waiting for Harav Shemesh, he still has a little bit of tumah, residual tumah. He would pasul truma if our Tvul Yom were to touch truma, so the truma now becomes pasul, becomes a shlishi. Over here, the Mishnah describes the following, ha mikveh. So the Mishnah is describing a porridge, it's some sort of wheat-based cereal, whatever the case is, and it's shell truma, it's made up of truma. And that means to say that the ikr, the main component of the cereal, is made up of truma, and then there is some condiments on it, or spicing on it. There's garlic and there's oil, vashum, vashum, and shel chulin, but that's not truma, that's chulin. And so what is it fundamentally? So at its base, it's truma, so it is basically truma. Therefore, naga tvul yom b'miksasam pasos kulam. If a tvul yom were to touch just simply part of it, it would all become tamei. Right? The Mishnah's language is puzzled, but that's because in this particular case, the tvul yom touching the truma becomes the shlishi, which is the end of the road for tuma. As it relates to truma, therefore the Mishnah uses the words puzzled. Anyway, the truma becomes puzzled. Why? Because fundamentally, the dish in question over here is truma. So therefore, touched by tvul yom, it's going to be become puzzled. Now, let's flip the case. Ha-mikpeh shel chulin. That the wheat base is really chulin. Va-hashum va-hashum shel truma. And it happens to be that the garlic or the oil that I put on top of it is in fact truma. V'nago tvul yom b'meksasim l'apasal ala makom mag'o bilvad. And now the tvul yom comes and touches it. The only thing that becomes tamei is the area in which he touched, but the remaining part of it is not going to be tamei. V'avinam ba. Good. So that's the Mishnah in tvul yom. Now when we sat around and tried to understand the Mishnah in tvul yom, so this is all Rav Dimi talking. Abaye talking to Rav Dimi. So when we sat around trying to understand this Mishnah Tvul Yom, so here's what bothered us. Makom ago amai psula. Habat lele tavlan barov. I don't understand over here. We have a tarovas, we have a mixture. This cereal, which is mostly chulin, and it's only the oil and the garlic, and only those things which are truma, but basically what we're looking at is a tarovas. Now, when it happens to be that when we're talking about a tarovis of Truman Chulin, so we have a special name for that tarovis, and that's what's called Dimua. So, okay, fine. So what we have over here is something, as we would describe, as dimua. Now, if I touch it, so any part of it's going to become tameh. The Gemara basically wonders out loud. Isn't the oil and the garlic going to be nullified in the fact that the vast majority of it is chulin? So basically, this is a chulin product. Why should it become tameh? And in explanation of this Mishnah, ve'amar Rabba bar Barchana matam, hovizar lo kalem bekezayas. Ah, so the Gemara says, I'll give you the explanation why. It's because if I have a non-Kohen who ate this entity, so he's going to be subject to Malkus if he eats a kezayis of it. As we know, a non-Kohen eating truma, or in this case, it's not even truma, it's dimua. So we know the halach is that if you have a non-Kohen eating a kezayis of it, you're subject to the, to Malkus. Okay, if no warning, it's an Isser of Misa Bidei Shemaim. But anyway, so that's the explanation that we gave in that Mishnah in Tevul Yom. Now the Gemara says, now let's think about this answer that was just provided. Hey Chidami. Now exactly, what does it mean that if a non-Kohen were to eat a kezayis of it, so he's going to be subject to Malkus. Now if you're eating a kezayis of it, so what are the chances now that you're going to be eating a kezayis of actual Truma? The chances are very small. You're not going to be eating a kezayis of truma. You're eating this mixture, which means part of it's truma and part of it's non-truma. Oh, so what the Gemara now is thinking is that this must fall under the category of this principle, this new principle we just learned of heter mitzarif l'isser. And if in fact that's so, we now see that the heter mitzarif l'isser principle is not just related to a nazir and wine and bread being combined together, but it seems like it applies to other isserim as well. Here in this Mishnah in Truma, in Tevul Yom, which we just understood as per the explanation of Rabba bar Barchana, so we just learned together that a non-Kohen eating kezayis of this mixture is going to be subject to Malkus, must be predicated on the principle of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser. That's what we think. Sounds like a really good explanation. The problem is that Rav Yochanan limits it only to Nazir. So, Hei Chidami, Lamishum deHeter Mitzarif L'Isser. So the Gemara now asks exactly that question, Lo. The Gemara says, not necessarily. My kezayis deika kezayis bechtei achilas pras. So the Gemara says, there's a totally different way to understand this mission in Tevul Yom, even with the explanation of Rabba bar Barchana. What does it mean that the non-Kohen ate a kezayis of it? Meaning, you're right, it is a mixture. You're right, it is dimua. The reason why there's Malkus over here is because ultimately, when he eats the entire dish, it'll take a little bit to eat the entire dish, but as long as he eats a kezayis of the truma within the time frame of kedei achilas pras, Kedei Achilas Pras is the amount that one would take in order to eat a meal, literally half of a meal. According to Rashi over here, we're talking about the volume of 4 eggs. For Rashi, the double meal is 8 eggs. Half of that would be the volume of Dalet Beitzim, 4 eggs. So the amount of time that it takes to eat that, right, when the Gemara talks in terms of time, especially when it talks about the time of consumption, it does not give an interval, a unit of minutes and hours. But rather the Gemara talks about the amount of time that it would take to eat a certain food, right? We have a number of examples of that throughout Shas. Anyway, so if a person were to eat a kezayis of iser within that prescribed time, now how does that translate into actual time the way you and I describe? Right, the poskim differ. But anyway, let's, for just purposes of giving a frame, let's say it's about 4 minutes. It could be less, it could be more. Anyway, the idea is that if you're eating a kezayis of iser within that time frame, so one is going to be subject to Malkus. That is how to understand the Mishnah in Tevul Yom, as per the explanation of Rabba bar Barchana, and therefore we don't need to employ the principle of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser. In fact, we don't want to use the principle of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser because according to Rav Yochanan, it's only limited to Nazir, and it doesn't apply to any other iser. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. But in order to employ this new idea of eating a kezayis of iser within the kedei achilas pras, so what you have to say is that that's a din d'oraisa. Why? Because we're talking now about receiving malchus. The language of the Mishnah is that if the non-Kohen were to be eating a kezayis of it, so he'd be chayiv, he'd be subject to a chiyuv. So so it has to be an iser d'oraisa. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Ukezayis bechtei achilas pras d'oraisa hi amar le'in. Yep, this idea is a din d'oraisa. So the Gemara now asks a magnificent question. So the Gemara says, so you just introduced me to this idea of that when I have a mixture, and even though in one bite I'm not eating a requisite amount, but as I eat the entire mixture, as long as I'm eating a kezayis of iser within the mixture, within the time frame of kedei achilas prasa, then there's going to be a liability. So the Gemara says, let's go back to yesterday's daf. In yesterday's daf, we talked about a kuta chabavli. Kuta chabavli, so you have a dip, and it has breadcrumbs in there as part of the dip. So we learned in yesterday's daf, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham, and what kind of liability is there if you eat the kuta chabavli? If you recall, Memgam Amad Aleph, yesterday's daf on the Amad Aleph. So about five lines before the lines start getting wide, so the Gemara quoted a brisa. Al chametz dagan gamar enish karis al eruvo belav divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says that one is going to be subject to a negative prohibition if one were to eat the kuta chabavli or any other tarovis. The chachamim ramim al chametz dagan gamar enish karis al eruvo below klom. And according to the chachamim, there is no malchus for tarovis. The Gemara now wonders out loud. It's such a good question. Wait a second. You just introduced me to the idea of eating a kezayis within a kedei achilas pras. Isn't it going to be the case that when you eat the kuta chabavli, in one bite you're not going to be eating a kezayis of chametz, but eventually you're going to be eating enough kuta chabavli, and isn't it going to be the case that you're going to be eating a kezayis of bread within a kedei achilas pras? If in fact that's so, so shouldn't there be a liability and malchus for that in of itself? And if you're right, and in this whole idea of eating a kezayis bechdei achilas pras is a din da'oraisa as you're proposing, so then why would the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Eliezer in yesterday's daf? So the Gemara says, Elamai, Mishum Hetter Mitzdarf Leiser. So if so, my pligi Rabbana led to Rabbi Eliezer, Bekuta Chabavli. Now the next question of the Gemara over here is a little bit tricky, admittedly, because the Gemara says, well look, even if I'm not subscribing to the idea of Hetter Mitzdarf Leiser, I'm sorry, even if I'm not subscribing to the idea of Kezayis Bechdei Achilas Pras, why don't we go back and subscribe to the idea of Hetter Mitzdarf Leiser? And suggest that there should be a liability for that principle in of itself. Now, admittedly, this question over here is a little bit rough, because Heter Mitzdarf Leiser, at least according to Rav Yochanan, has extraordinarily limited application. It only applies to Nazir into no other area of halacha. And even as we learned in the beginning of Shir this morning, Ze'iri expands the application, but Ze'iri only expands the application only if I subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, who has a drasha for Tarovis based on the drasha of Kol, so for Rabbi Eliezer, he too now is going to have the idea of Heter Mitzdarf Leiser even for Chametz on Pesach. But if you don't have the drasha of Rabbi Eliezer, so therefore you're not going to apply Heter Mitzdarf Leiser to that of Chametz. So the Gemara's question over here that says, well, why doesn't the Chachamim hold you liable predicated on the principle of Heter Mitzdarf Leiser, when the truth of the matter is that the Chachamim are not going to apply Heter Mitzdarf Leiser to that of Chametz on Pesach. Okay, so, and the Rishonim are bothered by that. So I'm just pointing out that was a difficult line to understand in the context of the Gemara. Anyway, but be that as it may, let's just backtrack to the previous point of the Gemara, which is, why would the Chachamim, when eating Tarovis, specifically Kuta Chabavli on Pesach, why would they not hold you liable? Isn't it going to be the case that by the time you finish eating the dip, you're going to be eating a kezayis of the chametz? And if you have this principle of eating a kezayis within the time frame of kedei achilas pras, so you should be liable with onish and malchus for that in of itself. So why would the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Eliezer? So let's just leave that point as it is. It's an outstanding point. And the Gemara's answer, and it's the only answer that the Gemara is going to provide, Elahanach lekuta chabavli d'leis bukezayis bechdei achilas pras. So the Gemara says, okay, and what we're going to have to say is that the kuta chabavli, the nature of the kuta chabavli, is that you're not eating a kezayis within a kedei achilas pras. Ibeina dekasar v'kachale baladaito esel kol adam. It's a really strong dip. What are you going to do? You're just going to down the dip? You're going to eat the dip in of itself? You're not going to do that. And even if you do that, that's such a bizarre and unusual way to eat it. That is not considered derech achila. And there's not going to be liability for that. Now you eat it in the normal manner, meaning you eat it as a dip. It's eaten in such a slow pace that you're just not going to be eating a kezayis within kedei achilas pras. Okay. So the Gemara leaves the kuta chabavli out of the discussion of kedei achilas pras simply because it's not the case. Continuing in the Gemara Esve. The Gemara now is going to be quoting a couple of brisas. They should sound familiar because we happen to have covered these earlier in our Masechta. Shekedaris achas shulchum v'achas shul truma. I have two pots. One is chulin, the other is truma. V'lifneim shnei meduchos. And I have two mortars in front of them. Achas shulchum v'achas shul truma. One is chulin, the other is truma. V'naflu eilu l'soch eilu. And now here's what happened. So the truma in one mortar fell into the pot, and the truma of the chulin fell into the pot. And we don't know which one fell into which. So mutarin, so everything is going to be mutar. Now remember, of the pots, one of them is truma and the other one's chulin. Because what am I going to say? Shani omer truma latoch truma nafla, vechulin latoch chulin nafla. So the truma goes into the truma and the chulin goes into the chulin. Meaning, even though it's really a 50-50 shot, but nevertheless, we're going to be mako. Now the Gemara says, be mako, what are you talking about? Now the only way we're going to be able to be mekel is only if we can put this on the level of a derabanan by isuri derabanan. So we have rights to be mekel in cases of suffik. But if we're talking about a dindar right, so we have no right to be mekel under those circumstances. So the Gemara wants to know if we're talking about a dindar rabanan, I can understand this mission that we just quoted. If the concept of eating a kezayis within a kedei achilas pras is a din d'araisa, we have no right to be mekel. Now imagine that if our truma from the mortar goes into the pot that's chulin, so yes, you have a tarovis, but when all is said and done, by the time you eat a certain amount of the mixture, you're going to be eating a kezayis of truma. And so therefore, this idea of eating a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras should bring you to a Torah liability. We have no right to be mekel in such a circumstance. So amai amrin and shani omer truma l'soch truma. So what right do we have to be mekel? So amalei hanach l'truma tavlin derabanan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what's being ground in the mortar? So yes, it's truma, but it's truma that's only midrabanan, not midaraisa. Right? Saying it like Rashi and Tosfos, we say Rashi and Tosfos all the time, and that is that according to Rashi and Tosfos, the chiv of truma is only on grapes, olives, and the five grains, and that's it. Nothing else midaraisa is chayv shetrumas amaisos. Midarabanan, all fruits are chayv shetrumas amaisos. And in this case, we're not even talking about a fruit, we're talking about spices. Therefore, according to Rashi and Tosfos, we're only talking about a dindarabanan, not a dindaraisa, and that's why we're going to be make under those circumstances. Eitzvei, the Gemara is going to go through a similar brisa and a similar back and forth. Shtei kupas achas shel chulin achas shel truma v'lefneim beis sa'in achas shel chuma shel chulin v'achas shel truma v'nafla eila sochelu mutarim shani omer chulin l'soch chulin nafla truma l'soch truma nafla. It's basically the same case over here. You have a little bit of chulin and a little bit of truma side by side. They each fall into a box, and the boxes are also, one box is made up of truma, the other box made up of chulin. We don't know which one fell into which. Under those circumstances, we say, okay, chulin fell into chulin, and truma fell into truma. Matza min es mino. Fine. And again, the Gemara's question is going to be the same. So, and if we say that this concept of eating a kezayis within an achilas pras is a din d'araisa, we have no right to be mekel under those circumstances. So why are we mekel? So amrlei hanach l'truma bizmanazeh d'rabbanan. So the Gemara's response is, truma bizman hazeh, meaning, let's assume that we're talking about grain, which is chayv and truma daraisa, but the time period in which we're in is bizmanenu, nowadays, post-destruction. And therefore, the requirement, the obligation to take off truma samaisos is a din derabanan, not a din daraisa, and that's why we're going to be mekel under those circumstances. Okay. We have now tackled two major topics within Tarovus within Yerodea. We touched on the idea, we introduced ourselves to Heter Mitzarif Leser, and we also touched on the idea of eating a kezayis bechdei achilas pras. Okay, as far as the second basic idea of eating kezayis within kedei achilas pras, if I have a mixture, and although with one bite of the mixture, or even two bites of the mixture, I'm not eating kezayis, but ultimately as I eat the mixture, I will be eating a kezayis within the time frame of achilas pras. So under those circumstances, one is going to be liable. And as the Gemara has successfully concluded, this is a din d'oraisa. It will bring about iser, if in fact you're eating a kezayis within kedei achilas pras. And also, the Gemara doesn't discuss it over here, but it also, this principle operates in the context of mitzvah as well. Notably, let's say the Seder night, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah on the Seder night. So you have to eat a kezias. It gets a lot more complicated than that in terms of how much you have to be eating at the Seder night. One kezias, two kezesim. It does get a little bit more complicated. I'm just right now going to just describe it in the abstract. So you have to be eating a kezias. So in order for you to successfully be eating a kezias, it also has to be eaten within the time frame of kedei achilas pras, so that you are properly eating that kezias as a kezias. Good. So that's the this principle not only is dealing in the world of Yisurim, but also operates also as a mitzvah as well. Meanwhile, we continue. We are now in the bottom of Mem Dalam and Aleph. So we are two big issues been presented to us, and we're not done yet. We have another major issue that comes up, and that's the idea of Tam Keker. The Gemara starts off the discussion on Tam Keker. Hai Mishras Lahach Yudas Hami Baile Lechidatanya. Now, Rav Yochanan, who opened up our daf today, says that this idea of heter mitzarf l'isser, that I can take supplemental heter, combine it with the isser in order to get to the requisite shear, which according to Rav Yochanan only applies to a nazir, based on the pasuk of Mishras. So, right, Mishras anavim lo yishte, so it only applies to a nazir, so the Gemara is bothered, because it seems that we have this idea, this principle of heter mitzarf l'isser, sorry. We have another principle coming out from this drasha, and that's notably the idea of tam keiker. B'hai mishras achudas ha'hai mi'bai l'lechid etanya mishras li'tein tam keiker she'im shara anavim b'mayim v'yesh b'em tam yayin chayav. So the idea of tam keiker is as follows. The Gemara says, let's say you were to take grapes, soak it in water. The taste of the grapes now is infused by the water. If you were to drink that water that has the taste of grapes and you're a nazir, you're going to be chayev. And this is the idea of tam keiker. Literally, taste is as if I'm eating the food itself. Now, in terms of how exactly the taste is going to be colonizing the food when the taste is imparted into the food, so once again, let's take a look at it from the framework of Rashi. Litein tam keiker. Look at the top Rashi over here. Lasos tamo shel iser. Ki ikaro umamasho. So Rashi over here has an extraordinarily strong language. Rashi says that when a food tastes like another food, so basically we're going to be treating this food as if it's the iser itself. Taste is going to totally colonize the new food, so that the new food actually is mamasho shel iser. That's the way Rashi understands it. Now that is a very strong, it's a very bold statement in terms of understanding the principle of tam keiker. There are other ways to say it, but for this morning, in the context of the Daf Yomi, we're just going to be saying it like Rashi. We're talking about a full colonization of the food that the taste has now entered and now taken over. That sense, that taste that you are tasting now is going to make the food that it imparts the taste to as if it's mamish iser itself. And how do we know this? We base this on the idea of Mishras. Now, we really are going to have, right, the Gemara is asking a really basic question. Rav Yochanan, you introduced us to the idea of Heter Mitzarf L'Isser, that was the beginning of today's daf. And you learned it out from the pasuk of Mishras, Mishras Anavin Lo Yishta. And meanwhile, we have Tam Keiker being generated from the pasuk of Mishras. So Rav Yochanan, you can't learn out your concept of Heter Mitzarf L'Isser when right now we are learning the principle of Tam Keiker from the very same pasuk, from the very same idea of Mishras Anavim Lo Yishta. Furthermore, look what the Gemara does over here, as we are now on the top of Mem Dalam and Beis. The V'yesh Mem Tam Chai, one would be liable. And the Gemara continues. Mikana Tadan L'Chol HaTorah Kula. Now the Gemara over here, so interesting, the Gemara says, now, Tam Keiker is true by Nazir, it's true by all other Yisurim in the Torah. Right, Rav Yochanan, when introducing Heter Mitzarf L'Isser based on the pasuk of Mishras Anavim Lo Yishta, so Rav Yochanan says, limited application, it only applies to a nazir. Meanwhile, over here, as the Gemara now is learning Tam Keiker from said pasuk, so now the Gemara says, now if it's true by nazir, it's true by Kol Yisurim in the Torah. And the Gemara over here makes a very strong argument. Look, the Isser of nazir, it's a lighter Isser, relatively speaking. Ma nazir she'ein iser iser olam. First of all, it's not a permanent iser. A nazir is only a nazir for a limited amount of time. Whatever he determines his nazir is to be. And that's number one. Number two, ve'ein iser iser hana. On top of that, the iser is not an iser of hana'ah. the Isser of grape product for a Nazir is only an Isser Achila. And finally, number three, V'yesh Heter li'isuro, and there's a Heter, meaning what a Nazir can do is a Nazir can go ahead. And if wants to get out of his Nazirus, he can go to a Chacham in order to get out of his Nazirus. So the Isser of grape products to a Nazir is a quote-unquote lighter Isser for three reasons. And yet, we have the idea of tam ki'ikr, that the taste that's infused by the grapes into any other food makes that food as if it is mamashashal Isser. That's the way Rashi says it. So kalayim. So let's take another Isser, for example. Let's say, for example, the Isser of kalayim. Shisur Isser Olam, there it's a permanent Isser. Once you take the vine and plant other seeds in the vineyard, so the Isser is Olami. It's a permanent Isser. Visur Isser Anan. On top of that, not only is it Isser Bachil, it's also Isser Asur Bana as well. Vein Heter Li Isura, and there's no allowance for the Isser. You can't go to a Chacham and release yourself from the Isser of Kalayim, Eino Din Shiasa Tam Keiker. So thereby Kalayim, we're certainly going to say Tam Keiker. Vua Din La Arla Bishtayim. And the same thing is going to be true when it comes to our law, at least in two of the aspects. We highlighted three aspects in which kalayim is more severe than that of the Isser of Nazir. Now, by our law, it's only more severe on two points, but that's enough to say Tam Keker, even by the Isser of our law as well. Which of the three is not included by our law? So a really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says that one is not true by our law is the Isser Olami. The fact that it's a permanent Isser. Because by Arla, the Isser is going to be lifted after 3 years. Only 3 years post-planting of the tree is the fruit going to be Isser. But after that, the fruit is going to be Mutter. That's a difficult Rashi because the fruit itself, once it grows within the first 3 years of its planting, the fruit itself is always going to be Isser. It's only the tree after 3 years which is going to be Mutter. So it is a difficult Rashi, and that Rashi is discussed in detail. Tosfos here discusses this Rashi. Anyway, the idea is that Tam Keiker applies by Nazir. It's also going to apply by Kalayim. It's also going to apply by Arla as well. It's not clear from the Gemara how far we're going to go with Tam Keiker, how much further out we're going to push it, meaning does it have to have a Chomer over Nazir in at least two ways? That's the way the Gemara seems to present it. Anyway, let's just stick right now with the Gemara's basic question, which is, you, Rav Yochanan, learn out the principle of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser, and you learned it out from the source of Mishras Anavim LaYishte. And meanwhile, we just learned the Brisa together that from the pasuk of Mishras Anavim LaYishte, we learn out the principle of Tam Keiker. So how can you, Rav Yochanan, learn out your concept of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser when meanwhile we're talking about Tam Keiker? So Hamani Rabban he. So Rav Yochanan Damar Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, look, it's a machlokas tanayim, meaning there's a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva, and the Brisa that we just quoted. That's Shitas Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva does subscribe to Tam Keiker from a different source, and since he learns out Tam Keiker from a different source, so according to Rabbi Akiva, an allowance is given to learn out the principle of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser from Mishras Anavim Lo Yishta. Okay, and now all we need to do, and it's not going to be a small task, it's going to take up the remainder of today's daf, is find this Rabbi Akiva who learns out Tam Keiker from a different source. So and that's what the Gemara is going to do. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rabbi Akiva, hi Rabbi Akiva. Which Rabbi Akiva are we talking about? Where do we see Rabbi Akiva learning out Tam Keiker from a different source? Elim Rabbi Akiva Demasis and Ditnan. So maybe it's Rabbi Akiva from a Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah Rabbi Akiva Omer Nazir. Let's say our Nazir takes bread, dips it in wine, and there's enough for a kezayis, you're going to be chayev. So that seemingly is Rabbi Akiva talking about the idea of Tam Keiker. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, slow down. Sorry, that's Rabbi Akiva talking about the principle of Heter Mitzarif L'Isser. The Gemara says, I'm not so sure about that. How do I know that our Nazir, in this case, in this Brisa, ate from the bread and from the wine? Maybe he just had the wine in of itself. Now, okay, so if the wine by itself is equivalent to a kezayis, what's the Mishnah coming to teach me? So, maybe what it's coming to teach me is that the wine is not eaten in of itself, or in this case, drunk by itself, but rather as part of a tarovis. I might have thought that under those circumstances there's no liability, full liability with the punishment with Malkus. That's the Havamina. That could be the Chiddush of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Ela Rabbi Kiva de Brisa." So it's Rabbi Kiva of a Brisa. The Tanya will learn from the Brisa. Rabbi Kiva Omer Nazir Shashar Pito B'Yayin. So if I have a Nazir that I dip, if I have a Nazir that dips his bread and wine, the Alchal Kizayis Mi Pas Umi Yayin, and he eats a Kizayis. Now here the Brisa is very clear. From the bread and the wine, chayev. So he's going to be chayev. So here we, all we did in this brisa is just simply establish that according to Rabbi Akiva, when you eat a mixture of bread and wine, and through the combination of the two, now we got to the shear of a kezias. So under those circumstances, one is going to be chayev. All we did, I mean, it's not a little thing, but all we did is just simply establish according to Rabbi Akiva, you subscribe to the idea of heter mitzarif leiser. And what the Gemara now is arguing is that according to Rav Yochanan, his introduction, his rollout of Heter Mitzarif Leiser is only working within the Shita of Rabbi Kiva, not the Chachamim. Meaning according to the Chachamim, as we established on the top of our Amud, according to the Chachamim, Mishra Sanavim Lo Yishta, that's teaching me a totally different concept, notably the concept of Tam Ke'ikar. And seemingly, right, what the Gemara certainly is suggesting is that according to the Chachamim, they don't even hold of the idea of Heter Mitzarif Leiser. That's what it sounds like. Meaning they certainly don't have a drasha for it. So that's what it sounds like. So this idea of Heter Mitzarif Leiser, which is the beginning of today's daf, which was rolled out by Rav Yochanan, now is only going like Rabbi Akiva and not like the Chachamim. Fine. So we basically have almost everything ironed out. Meaning that according to Rabbi Akiva, as understood by Rav Yochanan, you have a concept of Heter Mitzarif Leiser, that's learned out from Mishra Sanavin Lo Yishta. You also have a concept of Tam Ke'ikar, according to Rabbi Kiva, where does that come from? Excellent question, stay tuned. And according to the Chachamim, however, who disagree with Rabbi Kiva, so the Pasuk of Mishra Sanavin Lo Yishta, that's coming to teach me the principle of Tam Ke'ikar. What about Heter Mitzarif Leiser? So presumably, the Gemara does not spell this point out, but presumably the Chachamim don't subscribe to such an idea. Okay, when all said and done, by the way, I'll just add parenthetically, this idea of Heter Mitzarif Leiser so is extraordinarily limited. Meaning, according to Rav Yochanan, it applies to Nazir, no other Isser. And as we just now got just concluded in the Gemara, according to the Chachamim, they may not even subscribe to the idea altogether. Okay, now, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Pasuk Mishra Sanavin Lo Yishteh is there to teach me of Heter Mitzarif Leiser. What about Tam Kaker according to Rabbi Akiva? According to the Chachamim, Tam Kaker is learned out from Mishra Sanavim Lo Yishta. Where does Rabbi Akiva learn out the principle of Tam Kaker? That's the Gemara's next question, and that's the remainder of today's daf. Rabbi Akiva Tam Kaker Menale Yalef Mi Basa B'Chalav. So the Gemara now thinks that Basa B'Chalav is the source of Tam Kaker. Certainly Basa B'Chalav is an application of Tam Kaker, but the Gemara now is trying to argue that's a source of Tam Kaker. So Lav Taima Ba'amahu Va'asar Hachanami Lo Shna. When you take meat and milk, cook them together. Even if you were to remove the meat, and all you're left in the milk with the milk is the taste of the meat, or vice versa. Meaning, let's say you pour out the milk, and all you're left is with the meat with the taste of the milk, so it's going to be asr. Basar b'chalav is predicated on the idea of tam ke'ikar. So if that, in fact, is so, so that seems to be our source. The Gemara says, yeah, but it's not a good source. It certainly is an application of tam ke'ikar, but it's not a good source. So the Chachamim will say, no, there's no way that Basar B'Chalav can be the source of the halach of Tam Keker, because it is such an anomaly. The Chiddushu, it's a Chiddush, the Gemara says, and as a Chiddush, so therefore it is unprecedented, and therefore since it's unprecedented, it can't serve as a precedent. Well, my chiddush, what's the chiddush exactly? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what's unprecedented about basar b'chalav. You're taking something which is mutter, cooking it with something else that's mutter, and you're resulting in isser. And that's unprecedented. The Gemara says, that's not unprecedented. So climb nami, halachude v'halachude share, uvahada de asur, the whole principle of kalayim. I take something which is mutter, I take something else which is mutter, I combine the two. Either it's seeds in a vineyard or it's wool and linen, right? Whatever application of kalayim to describe, but when I combine these items, so it results in isser. So in that regard, basar b'chalav is not unprecedented in the Torah. So eladi itarei le'kula yoma b'chava sharei basholei b'shulei aser. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what makes basar b'chalav such an anomaly. And that is, let's say you take meat and milk and you have it soaking, the meat soaking in the milk for a very long time. And even though there is an infusion of taste, that is not usur. When does basar b'chalav become usur? Only at the point of cooking. That's how basar b'chalav is such an anomaly, because it only comes about through bishul. And Rabbi Kiva Nami, basar b'chalav v'adei chiddushu. So the Gemara says, okay, so you explain beautifully that according to the Chachamim, basar b'chalav cannot be the source of tam ke'ikr, according to the Chachamim, because it's such an anomaly. So the Gemara just simply turns around, looks at Rabbi Kiva, and says to Rabbi Kiva, isn't the same thing going to be true by you? Meaning, isn't the idea of basar b'chalav such an anomaly that it cannot serve as the base of the halach of tam ke'ikr? So the Gemara says, yeah, that's a really good point. So ela yalef migu'ule nachrim. So the Gemara says, yeah, okay, so the other source would be the clay midjan. After having gone to battle with midjan, so we come back with pots and pans, and the Torah says, you got to kosher them. So why do you have to kosher them? Because there's the taste of the non-kosher that's embedded within the walls of the pots that they used. Now, that is ta'am, that's taste. And yet the Torah says it needs to be expunged. So by virtue of the fact that we have to expunge that taste, so that means that that tam is usur, tam ke'ikr. So the Gemara says, Giulin nachrim lav taima ba'amahu ve'asur, hachanami loshna. So for Rabbi Kiva, since the Torah requires that we kosher the pots, so that's tam ke'ikr, the source of tam ke'ikr according to Rabbi Kiva. V'rabbanan, now why wouldn't the Chachamim use that as a source? Giulin nachrim nami chidishu. Da'akonos in tam of gam mutter, de'gamrinim in nevela v'hacha asur. So the Chachamim will counter and say, no, that's not going to be a source, because we know that taste has a very short shelf life. How long is the taste going to last within the walls of the pot? So no more than 24 hours. After 24 hours, the taste in the walls of the pot has gone spoiled. This is the principle of no sein tam lefgam. And therefore, may ikar hadin, according to the strict letter of the law, after 24 hours, that's tam pogum. And therefore, it does not carry with an isser. We learned this from Nevela. Rashi goes to the drasha over here. I'm not gonna go through it right now. You can see Rashi towards the bottom of the Amud, quoting the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Anyway, by Nevela, once you have meat spoiling, even if the meat is not kosher meat, but once it spoils, it's no longer going to be usur. I mean, it's no longer good. I mean, it's disgusting, but it's no longer going to be usur. Anyway, the same thing is true with the taste in the walls of the pot. And so what the Chachamim are countering is that that's such a chiddush, because really, maker adin, the taste is going to be rendered no longer isur. And Rabbi Kiva, kid Rabbi Chia, berei de Rav Huna. And now what Rabbi Kiva would say in his defense is that no, koshering the pots that we took from the spoils of war, they had to have been koshered immediately after usage. So Hilkach lav no sein tam lefgamhu. What Rabbi Kiva will tell you is that no, over there after the battle with Midjan, so yes, there was a requirement to kosher it, and it was within 24 hours of its last usage. So therefore, it's not no sein tam lefgam, and it's real tam, and it has to be expunged, and that now becomes a viable source. V'rabbanan. Now the Chachamim will counter, and they will say kedera bas yoma nami lo efshar delo pagma porta. The Chachamim will say, no, even within the first 24 hours, it is starting to go through the spoilage process. And since that's the case, it is in fact a chiddush that the Torah requires us to kosher it, meaning the Torah does require to kosher it, but still it's a bit of a chiddush in that spoiling has already started. And so therefore, you cannot use this as a precedent to teach me in other areas of halacha, the idea of tam ke'ikr. Adkan. Okay, gives us an opportunity now to review a daf that is really fundamental. I mean, every daf is important, but the fundamental ideas that are presented in today's daf. Let's quickly recap our daf. Opened up our daf today with the idea of heter mitzarf l'iser, as Rashi understands it. The idea is that if I have a half a kazayis of iser and a half a kazayis of heter, and even if it's not betar rovis and I eat the two of them, so the heter will supplement the iser to get me to the shear of kazayis so that I will be receiving malchus. That's the idea of heter mitzarf l'iser. Now, the way Rav Yochanan rolls it out, we learn it out from the pasuk of Mishras Anavim Lo Yishta by the Nazir. And number two, according to Rav Yochanan, it has no other application in halacha other than that of the Nazir. That is heter mitzarf l'iser. Now, Zeiri happens to be that he broadens out the application of heter mitzarf l'iser, but that's only within the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And that part was a little bit confusing, but anyway, Zeiri does expand it just a little bit. The Gemara on Memdalam and Aleph introduced us to another idea, and that is eating a kezayis bichdei achilas pras. If I have a mixture of heter and iser, and I eat that mixture, and by the time I'm eating four beitzim, this is the way Rashi presents it, four beitzim of the total food, and within the four beitzim you're eating a kezayis of the iser, then you have violated the Torah and you're going to be subject to malchus. And this is the idea of eating a kezayis bichdei achilas pras. The Gemara concluded that that's a din d'oraisa. We don't have a source for that. And Rashi points out, and I didn't mention this earlier, Rashi points out, halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. But anyway, that is the idea of kezayis bichdei achilas pras. And then, the third big idea that we rolled out today, on the bottom of Mem Dalam and Alf, taking us to Mem Dalam and Beis, is the idea of tam ke'ikr. And the way Rashi presents it, tam ke'ikr, when I have the taste of something which is usr, that gets infused into a food that's mutter, so that taste now is going to colonize the food to the point now where the food is mamasha shel iser. Right? That's Rashi's very strong language that we quote on the top of the Amud Beis, that the tamo shel iser makes the food that it colonizes ki ikaro umamasho. Really strong language. That's Rashi's understanding. And so therefore, the food now that you're eating is going to be considered a chefsa shel iser. And as a result of that, one is going to be liable, even though the food be'etzem is mutter, but because it has the taste of iser, so therefore it is going to be a chefza shel iser. This idea of tam keker, where do we learn it from? So that was the entirety of the Amud Beis. If you're the Chachamim, you're learning out from Mishras and Avim Lo Yishta. According to the Chachamim, what about the idea of hetzem and starf l'iser? And we think, or at least I think, that the Chachamim don't subscribe to that idea altogether. That seems to be the simple reading of the Gemara. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, so heter mitzarf l'iser is generated from mishros anavim lo yishta. Where does Rabbi Akiva learn out the principle of tam ke'ikr? So to make a long story a lot shorter, so the Gemara's conclusion is, Rabbi Akiva learns it out from Gi'ulei Nachrim, after having gone to the battle with Midjan, where their kalim are now infused with the taste of their non-kosher food, and the Torah says that we have to kasher those pots. That's the source of the halacha of tam ke'ikr, according to Rabbi Akiva.